Today is the 22nd day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it's wonderful to be here with you today. This day that begins another week, and so we open the door to it and open our hearts to it and look upon it. It's all out there in the future. And it's our story to tell in the adventure of life that we are on with the Lord and with each other as we move day by day, step by step through the scriptures. And so this week we will read from the New English Translation. And of course, like every day, we pick up right where we left off. It just so happens, though, that we left off yesterday by concluding the book of 1 Samuel, which brings us to the book of 2 Samuel. And we went through all of this when we started 1 Samuel about how 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings were all one text originally and have been broken apart over the years for reference. And so we know who Samuel is. We know his story. We know how he became the final judge of Israel and how he was a prophet of God that anointed Israel's first king, Saul. And then we spent a good portion of the book of 1 Samuel focusing in on that first king, King Saul, and his character. But part of the story of King Saul is the intertwining of David in his life and how that really unsettles him, because Samuel anoints David as the king to replace Saul, which means Saul will not have a dynasty and he will not have an heir to sit upon his throne. This very, very much destabilizes Saul, and then Samuel dies. And in a pretty dramatic fashion, just as we reach the conclusion of 1 Samuel, we see Saul go to a medium, bring Samuel up from the dead, and Samuel tells Saul that the kingdom indeed has been stripped from him, and that tomorrow he and his sons will be where he is, which means they will have left human life and reached the conclusion of their earthly journey. Which is what happened the following day in a battle with the Philistines. So now, as we turn the page and move into 2 Samuel, Israel has no king. And we may know that David becomes the second king of Israel. We may know that, but it doesn't just happen by default. And so, whereas 1 Samuel gave us a really intimate glimpse into the life of King Saul, 2 Samuel puts the same kind of focus on the soon-to-be King David. And so we will have a sharp contrast between Saul and David, as if we haven't already. We will be able to focus in on the character and integrity of David. And as with Saul, there is a lot for us to learn about ourselves in the coming pages. And so with that, we begin 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, verse 11. After the death of Saul, when David had returned from defeating the Amalekites, he stayed at Ziklag for 2 days. On the third day, a man arrived from the camp of Saul with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. When he approached David, the man threw himself to the ground. David asked him, "Where are you coming from?" He replied, "I have escaped from the camp of Israel." David inquired, "How are things going? Tell me." He replied, "The people fled from the battle and many of them fell dead. Even Saul and his son Jonathan are dead." David said to the young man who was telling him this, "How do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?" The young man said, "I just happened to be on Mount Gilboa and came across Saul leaning on his spear for support. The chariots and leaders of the horsemen were in hot pursuit of him. When he turned around and saw me, he called out to me. I answered, 'Here I am.' He asked me, 'Who are you?' I told him, 'I'm an Amalekite.' He said to me, 'Stand over me and finish me off.' I'm very dizzy, even though I'm still alive. So I stood over him and put him to death, since I knew that he couldn't live in such a condition. Then I took the crown which was on his head and the bracelet which was on his arm. I have brought them here to my lord. David then grabbed his own clothes and tore them, as did all the men who were with him. They lamented and wept and fasted until evening because Saul, his son Jonathan, the Lord's army, and the house of Israel had fallen by the sword. David said to the young man who told this to him, "Where are you from?" He replied, "I am an Amalekite, the son of a resident foreigner." David replied to him, "How is it that you were not afraid to reach out your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" And David called one of the soldiers and said, "Come here and strike him down." So he struck him down, and he died. David said to him, "Your blood be on your own head. Your own mouth has testified against you, saying, 'I have put the Lord's anointed to death.'" Then David chanted this lament over Saul and his son Jonathan. He gave instructions that the people of Judah should be taught the bow. Indeed, it is written down in the scroll of the upright one, "The beauty of Israel lies slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Don't report it in Gath. Don't spread the news in the streets of Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. The daughters of the uncircumcised will celebrate. O mountains of Gilboa, may there be no dew or rain on you, nor fields of grain offerings. For it was there that the shield of warriors was defiled. The shield of Saul lies neglected without oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of warriors, the bow of Jonathan was not turned away. The sword of Saul never returned empty. Saul and Jonathan were greatly loved during their lives, and not even in their deaths were they separated. They were swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet as well as jewelry, who put gold jewelry on your clothes. How the warriors have fallen in the midst of battle. Jonathan lies slain on your high places. I grieve over you, my brother Jonathan. You were very dear to me. Your love was more special to me than the love of women. How the warriors have fallen. The weapons of war are destroyed." Afterwards, David inquired of the Lord, "Should I go up to one of the cities of Judah?" The Lord told him, "Go up." David asked, "Where should I go?" The Lord replied, "To Hebron." So David went up along with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, formerly the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. David also brought along the men who were with him, each with his family. They settled in the cities of Hebron. The men of Judah came, and there they anointed David as king over the people of Judah. David was told, "The people of Jabesh-Gilead are the ones who buried Saul." So David sent messengers to the people of Jabesh-Gilead and told them, "May you be blessed by the Lord because you have shown this kindness to your lord Saul by burying him. Now may the Lord show you true kindness. I also will reward you because you have done this deed. Now be courageous and prove to be valiant warriors, for your lord Saul is dead. The people of Judah have anointed me as king over them." Now Abner, son of Ner, the general in command of Saul's army, had taken Saul's son Ishbosheth and had brought him to Mahanaim. He appointed him king over Gilead, the Geshurites, Jezreel, Ephraim, Benjamin, and all Israel. Ishbosheth, son of Saul, was 40 years old when he began to rule over Israel. He ruled 2 years. However, the people of Judah followed David. David was king in Hebron over the people of Judah for 7.5 years. John 12, 20 through 50. Now some Greeks were among those who had gone up to worship at the feast. So these approached Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and requested, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and they both went and told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the solemn truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. The one who loves his life destroys it, and the one who hates his life in this world guards it for eternal life. If anyone wants to serve me, he must follow me, and where I am, my servant will be too. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul is greatly distressed, and what should I say? Father, deliver me from this hour? No, but for this very reason I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard the voice said that it thundered. Others said that an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice has not come for my benefit, but for yours. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Now he said this to indicate clearly what kind of death he was going to die. Then the crowd responded, "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus replied, "The light is with you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he went away and hid himself from them. Although Jesus had performed so many miraculous signs before them, they still refused to believe in him, so that the word of the prophet Isaiah would be fulfilled. He said, "Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason they could not believe, because again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so that they would not see with their eyes and understand with their heart, and turn to me, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw Christ's glory and spoke about him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess Jesus to be the Christ, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God. But Jesus shouted out, "The one who believes in me does not believe in me, but in the one who sent me. And the one who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not obey them, I do not judge him, for I have not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not accept my words has a judge. The word I have spoken will judge him at the last day, for I have not spoken from my own authority, but the Father himself who sent me has commanded me what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Thus, the things I say just as the Father has told me." Psalm 118, 19 through 29. open for me the gates of the Just King's temple. I will enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the Lord's gate. The godly enter through it. I will give you thanks, for you answered me and have become my deliverer. The stone that the builders discarded has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's work. We consider it amazing. This is the day the Lord has brought about. We will be happy and rejoice in it. Please, Lord, deliver. Please, Lord, grant us success. May the one who comes in the name of the Lord be blessed. We will pronounce blessings on you in the Lord's temple. The Lord is God, and he has delivered us. Tie the offering with ropes to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will praise you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his loyal love endures. Proverbs 15, 27 and 28. The one who is greedy for gain troubles his household, but whoever hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous considers how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this new week that we are entering into, and we thank you for this new territory as we begin to focus our attention in 2 Samuel on the life of David. We invite your Holy Spirit to come. May we drink deeply, and may we learn much as we continue into the pages that are in front of us. Come, Holy Spirit, and plant what we've read in the past week into our hearts as we continually ask that we are continually planting goodness inside of us so that in due time we will continually be harvesting the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Come, Jesus, we pray. In your mighty name we ask. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Christy from Kentucky, the other Christy. I just heard from the teacher, soccer coach, mom, wife that is overwhelmed and burdened. And my first thought was gratitude. Father God, I just thank you that we have teachers that know where their strength comes from, that know to reach out in prayer. Lord, I thank you for these godly women that are teaching our children, that are coaching our children. Lord, she is overwhelmed. Lord, I ask that you give her the grace to have moments of time to rest in your presence and to seek you and to allow you just to flood her with love and comfort and to know that you're in this with her. Lord, I ask that you place a hedge of protection around her marriage, her family, and all those girls that she's coaching and her students. Lord, I ask that no flaming arrows have any lasting effects. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you for this woman. Just continue to give her strength and your wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi, this is My Heart Belongs to Jesus from Minnesota. First time calling in, been listening for 3 years. I have 4 daughters and 5 sons. Kelly, your prayer request today just touched my heart. You're on a journey with your daughters and it will be a bumpy road. All 4 of my daughters have gone through a time or going through a time where, let's face it, they have a hard time respecting or loving me. As a mom, man, this is painful. And I could hear that pain in your voice. Keep praying for them. I know that's hard, but don't show anger towards them. Have a humble heart. Be gentle with them. Let them see that God is the most important thing in your life. Trust the Lord. And when you struggle trusting God, ask him to help you. Beg him for wisdom. And on a side note, I would recommend charging your daughter for rent. I've had 4 and soon to be 5 children back home for seasons of their lives. I've had each one of them pay according to their ability. They may not have liked it, and I might not feel comfortable asking them, but it helps them move forward as independents. They are adults, and we need to help them see that they're adults, and by giving them an opportunity to pay rent, it helps them in that stage. And it might also help you in your financial ability. You might see it as a blessing. Tony, I just want to say thank you for all of your poems. They're so insightful. There's a young man who I know lost his mom a few years ago and is taking care of his brother. You are still on my heart, and I still remember your mother and what a sweet, warm woman she was. I thank you guys all. I really do pray for you, and I'm just blessed to be a part of this whole family around the global campfire. Thank you so much again. Appreciate all of you. Have a blessed day. My heart belongs to Jesus.
Hi, family. I just wanted you to please help me lift up my daughter in prayer. You have prayed for her before. This school year has not gone well for her. She is in 7th grade and has not made excellent choices. Kind of an understatement. But she is working hard at turning things around, and her heart is for the Lord. And I'm so thankful most of all for that. Over the last week and a half or 2 weeks, she finally put up a boundary with her bad news friends and told them that she didn't want to be their friend anymore. And so, of course, they wanted to beat her up. And yesterday that happened. I can't tell you what that has done to my mom's heart. It kind of took me back a couple months ago to when my parents both died. I really was scared for her, and she's okay. And she's been really strong. Like, I just dropped her off at school, and she's like, Mom, I can't avoid this. It's always going to be this way, that, you know, she's going to have questions no matter when she goes back. And if she stays home, she's just going to have more homework. So I just, would you pray for her, and would you pray for those girls? Pray for my heart. There were several kids around her, surrounding her, calling her names, and laughing when this girl beat her up. It just breaks my heart. I can't fathom somebody standing around watching somebody suffer like that and not doing anything. It reminded me of Jesus, how people were taunting him when people were causing his suffering, and it just breaks my heart. So I am covering your prayers. A lot, as usual. I love you guys.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is Ryan from Santa Barbara. I just prayed for all the people that came in and shared requests, and I'm just super blessed by the Lord in prayer, really. Just wanted to share that you guys helped me as I navigate my 20s and my prayer life. There was somebody I called in probably a year ago and asked for prayer. And there was somebody else from Santa Barbara. And you reached out to me, I think on Facebook, and I somehow lost you. Please reach out again. I think that's all. I'll just pray for you guys. God bless the Daily Audio Bible. God bless Brian. God, I thank you so much that you have built a community in an invisible way. And I just thank you so much for how they've all blessed me with their sharing and their prayers. And I just thank you so much, Lord, that there's one of you and there's one church, and you're just so good to confirm that to me through Daily Audio Bible. And I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's sharp and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between joint and marrow, judging the thoughts and intents of the heart. In Jesus' name, God bless you guys, and have a great day, and be encouraged. Your God reigns. This is Ryan from Santa Barbara.